Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
I want to share some thoughts with you about just this one passage of scripture that has just been ringing in my heart over the last week or so. And it comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And it's pretty short and sweet. And I'll get right to it. And basically what it says is, if anyone claims to abide in Christ, if anyone claims to abide in Christ, he must also walk as Jesus walked. That's it. I want to just say it again. If anyone claims to abide in Christ, he must walk as Jesus walks. And it, you know, it just kind of comes right down to it. It's like, look, we can say we're disciples of Jesus. We can claim that we follow Christ. We can claim that we abide in him. We can have a sense of that about ourselves. But what it really comes down to is how we walk this life out. And so if we claim that we walk with Jesus, or that we abide with him, then we need to walk as Jesus walked. Now, I want to just make some distinctions here, because I know for many of us, we can read the Gospels. We can find some amazing examples of how Jesus walked the earth when he was here. And if we're not careful, we'll try to emulate his behavior without getting to the deeper motives of his heart. So it's going to be important for us to try to capture by the help of the Holy Spirit, just not only what Jesus did on the earth, but why he did the things that he did, and what were the motives behind it, and just the heart behind Jesus's actions. And so I want to just encourage us that as we take some time here this morning, that we want to get deeper into some of the nuances of Jesus's character. And I use that word distinctly, character, and not to be confused with caricature, like the caricature of Jesus that sometimes we buy into. Like, we have this image of who Jesus was, and we go through our lives trying to emulate that caricature. I think there's some great resources that are out there available for us in the way of books, in the way of video content, that can really help us connect with the character of Jesus, and kind of dispel some of the caricatures, some of the distortions of who Jesus was, is, and will be. I know for me, in the last several months, I've been pretty fixated on the resurrected Jesus, the ascended Christ. That's just been something that I can't seem to get away from. Just the idea that for me to walk with Jesus and to walk as Jesus walks, I want to think of it more in present tense. Who is Jesus now? How am I relating to the ascended Christ, Jesus who is victorious, Jesus who is in authority at the right hand of the power of God? So that being said, I love the stories of Jesus. I love how Jesus is depicted in the Gospels, and some of these resources that are available for us to draw from, like, for example, books. John Eldredge has a great book entitled Beautiful Outlaw. That's a fantastic book. N.T. Wright wrote a book called Simply Jesus. And N.T. Wright and my friend Carl Medeiros are friends, and Carl began this gathering several years ago. It's entitled Simply Jesus, and there's a resource for you to go to if you want to view some short vignette video clips of teachings that orient specifically around the person of Jesus and how Jesus responded and dealt with or addressed specific issues or things that were present day in his life, in his world. So I want to encourage you, that's simplyjesusgathering.com, I believe. So Beautiful Outlaw, Simply Jesus by N.T. Wright, and then simplyjesusgathering.com where you can watch some videos. All that to say is that the first point, really the main salient point that I want to make this morning has more to do with a question. It's packaged in a question. And the question has no indictment on it. There's no shame or guilt that I want to put on any of you. That's not my place. And the question was really sparked in earnest yesterday, actually. I've recorded this the day after we met over at George and Lynn Wood's house. And at the end of our time of encouragement, Patty began to share this idea that there are many facets of Jesus. In fact, I looked it up. I was like, how many facets are in the diamond? I fact-checked myself, and there's actually 58 different facets of a round diamond to make it brilliant. And so as light refracts and just the brilliance of the diamond, Jesus is the same way. It's like, so Patty's encouragement was, no matter how much we think we know or how far along in our journey we might think we are, there's more. There's another rung of maturity, another rung of spiritual formation. And so my encouragement here this morning is that there's more. There's absolutely more. And so back to the question. The question here is this. In light of the encouragement that if we are going to claim that we walk with Jesus or that we abide with Christ, that we are to walk as Jesus walks, then the question is this. How well do we know Jesus? Really? Again, I realize this is a process, and whatever we have known of Jesus, it's really subject to an upgrade. I think there's more that we can be discovering about Jesus. I think Peter got this when he wrote this amazing encouragement. He says, as we know Jesus more, his divine power gives us everything we need for life and godliness. So if we're going to do this life right, if we're going to walk the way that Jesus walked, then it serves us well to know Jesus more intimately, more deeply, and not just know historically what he did when he walked, you know, on the earth, but to know his heart and to know him not only in a historic context, but to know him now, to know him relationally. I think the word know there is the Greek word yada, which is the same word for intimacy of two becoming one. We can know Jesus in that way. And I think the encouragement here in the question, really, which may be a challenge for some of us, is how well do we know Jesus? Again, not the caricature of Jesus, but the man Christ Jesus. And so with that, really, as our salient sort of focus right now, I want to just take a minute to talk about something that ever since the global pandemic, this has really come up in my mind and my heart. And then you layer onto that just the civil unrest, where there is an exposure of just the pathology and the challenge with that, and how do we navigate this in the conversation of racial equality in light of white supremacy, in light of police brutality, in light of all of these really complex issues. I think for us really right now, what I'm sensing is that this has been a time where the Lord, and I'll stand by it, I do not believe that God created the coronavirus, nor do I believe that God created the civil unrest. I think what God did was he's allowing this to shake us, and he's also allowing this to expose what's underneath. Now, it's a little more obvious with the civil unrest. He's exposing what's underneath that's not dormant. It's actually been very active, but it's been underneath the veneer. The veneer is being stripped away. For a lot of us, we were kind of in these like, wait a minute, I don't even know that's really an issue. And so we're being awakened to issues that may not be directly in our sphere and may not directly impact us, but we are becoming aware of that. When it comes to a global pandemic, I think it's less about an exposure of what was already there. Although I do know that what was already there and what continues to be a part of the equation on planet Earth is a spiritual conflict that brings dis-ease. And we see that in the social context of the racial equality and the Black Lives Matter movement and all these things. We recognize that there is a dis-ease. And we also point to the fact that this conflict is being tremendously, influenced by powers and principalities and the rulers of this dark age. And that would be in the heavenly realm that still has influence, in particular, as the Bible would say it, in the sons of disobedience. So anyone who is disobedient to God, and it's not just about being disobedient to God, but it's also about being obedient to Satan. I mean, that's what happened in the garden, right? Adam and Eve were not simply disobedient to God. They actually obeyed Satan. And that's when they relinquished so much of their authority. And so that being said, we have things on the earth that are happening. We have things in heavenly realms that are demonic, that are influencing human beings. And if we're not careful, we can unwittingly come subservient to those agendas. But then we also have this realm of Jesus being seated in heavenly places and us being seated with him. And we'll get a little bit more into that in a minute. But I just simply want to say this, that the exposure, the uncovering has been really fascinating, because the uncovering when it comes to like the coronavirus, for example, one of the things that's popping up, and I don't really know how to put language to it. So I'm going to just simply say this, that what I'm seeing uncovered is an interweaving in a lot of my friends, in a lot of us, with our spiritual life, our life with Christ, and woven into that would be our political affiliation and our political views and our sense of entitlement when it comes to our freedoms. And all of these things are woven into that. And I know that I may have already like popped some of you guys just in saying that. But there it is. It's like, that's exposed. We have this visceral reaction to what we're experiencing on the planet. We have visceral, emotion-laden responses to any sense of being oppressed, any sense of being like, put down or restrained or restricted. And it's really easy for us to push against that. And I simply want us to look at something that Jesus dealt with and get a sense about the bigger story, the bigger picture here, all right? Because the exposure of that's actually a good thing. It doesn't feel good. It's uncomfortable. It's been very disruptive. We don't like it one bit. However, there is something of God saying, look, I want you to find me in the middle of all of this. I want you to connect with me, and I want you, because you claim that you abide with me, I want you to learn how to walk as I did, even in these situations, even when you feel like your freedoms are being infringed upon, or you have a political agenda or a connection to something that feels unjust, and you're reacting to that emotionally. There was a lot that Jesus had to deal with that's very similar. Different, but similar. Remember that the powers and the principalities and the rulers of this dark age have been at this for some time. And there's nothing new under the sun, all right? And so we have some wisdom that we can draw from, and we can ask Jesus for more wisdom, right? And one of the ways that we gain wisdom, first is by asking, but also by really connecting with who Jesus is. So getting to know him more, and then responding to how we are like being empowered by his presence, his spirit in our lives. So I want to talk to you about how Jesus responded to the government. I mean, I'm not going to get political here, but I am going to say that Jesus had to deal with this. And on one hand, Jesus would say, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, render unto God that which is God. So Jesus understood that there was a simultaneous kingdom struggle here, that there was the kingdom of men and there was the kingdom of God, kingdom of darkness, all of that intertwining, and he was at the epicenter of it. He didn't run from it. He didn't hide from it. He willingly and voluntarily stepped into it. So, Jesus, how did you respond? What was in your heart? How did you deal with this? I'm really fascinated by the fact that Jesus did not want to go to the cross. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, if there's any way that this can be like removed from me, if there's any other way that we can bring redemption to fallen humanity, can we do that? And the Father was like, no, this is the way. Your shed blood is what's going to redeem fallen and broken humanity. So the first thing that I want to point to is the way that Jesus walked, and the way that Jesus continues to walk, and for those of us who claim to abide in Christ, the way that we walk is first we hear from the Father. Jesus says, I don't do anything and I don't say anything unless I'm hearing it and seeing it from the Father. And the second thing that he did was he submitted to the Father's will. And we know that to be true because he said, not my will but yours, Father. Now, when Jesus described this to his followers, one follower in particular, Peter, pulled Jesus aside and rebuked him and says, no, you're not going to go to the cross. This isn't what you're going to do. Like, this isn't the best plan. And Jesus had to forcefully address the spirit behind what Peter was doing. And Jesus rebuked him as Satan, as a person being influenced by the demonic. And then Jesus said this really fascinating and important sentence. He says, you do not have your mind set on the concerns of God, but rather set on the concerns of man. So that's pretty intense. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves, remember, we have our earthly plane that we live in. We have this second heaven where spiritual influence and the demonic reside, and angels and demons are coexisting and fighting for what God wants to release on the planet. We're a part of that. And then we have what Paul would refer to as the third heaven. And I can just tell you this straight up, that there are no demons in the third heaven. Okay, there are no fallen angels in the third heaven. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the third heaven onto earth. So there is no demonic in third heaven. There is demonic in the second heaven. We live on first Earth, or what we call first heaven, which is the atmosphere around our planet. All that to say is that Peter had his mind set on the things that were related to first earth. And he was being influenced by second heaven. And he was saying this to Jesus, who had gotten his sense of the bigger story from the Father, who is in third heaven. So Jesus was connected with the reality of third heaven, and he was dealing with first earth, you know, situations that were being influenced by second heaven demonic stuff. So, wow, this is complex, hugely spiritual, and it's real, all right? And so now let's fast forward. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the government shows up. The government shows up. He's in a private little, you know, prayer meeting on the hillside. He's betrayed by one of his own. Not only do soldiers from the Roman Empire come, but also the priests and some of the others. There was a crowd that showed up. And how did Jesus deal with this? Like, what did Jesus do in response to a government that was intertwining with religion? So the religion and the government were kind of hand in hand, cohorts in this. What did Jesus do? Well, I can tell you what he didn't do. He didn't resist them. He didn't fight them. And he willingly submitted not to their authority as much as he submitted to the larger story of the Father's plan for Jesus to be the sacrifice for us. So this humility that Jesus took, this posture of submitting, he wasn't submitting to this tyrannical hierarchy of power on the earth. First and foremost, what he was surrendering to was the will of the Father. And that led him to submitting to a power structure that ended up murdering him. Now, there was someone in his company, a band, his same guy, Peter, you know the story. I mean, Peter is incensed and he takes a sword and he cuts off the ear of who? I mean, do you know? I thought at first, I was like, well, he cut off the ear of a soldier, like he was defending Jesus from the soldiers. No, he cut off the ear of an unarmed servant. Isn't that amazing? Like, amazingly wrong. I mean, this is the intertwining of human agenda and, dare I might say, even a sense of entitlement to try to defend what is God's by becoming the very person that you are trying to defend yourself against. You're trying to defend yourself against oppressors, and in doing that, you become an oppressor. For Peter to cut off the ear of a servant, an unarmed servant, in an attempt to spare Jesus the very plan that the Father had intended for Jesus, it just blows my mind how convoluted this can get. And it all happens very quickly. So how did Jesus respond to all of this? Well, he healed the ear of the man who came in with the crowd. Whether this servant had ill intent in his heart or not, we don't know. But we do know that he was part of this band of people that were coming to get Jesus and to capture him. And so Jesus' response was to heal a member of the group that was attempting to oppress him. I love Jesus. He's beyond anything that we find in media. He defies so much of our human logic sometimes. But again, like Peter, we're so prone to have our minds set on human concerns and our minds set on the things of man here on first earth, oftentimes influenced by second heaven, demonic influence, that we forget to lift our eyes and connect with Jesus in the place of third heaven. Remember, friends, you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We cannot fight first world battles. We can't even fight second heaven battles unless we ascend to the third heaven and get the heart and the mind of Jesus, who has all rule and authority. It's only then that we can enter into a realm of intercession that has any influence and impact on what's happening here on terra firma, on the earth. So my friends, I just simply want to encourage you. Get to know Jesus more. Let him wow you once again with the intricacies of his heart and how he is really concerned about the issues that we face, but he addresses them from a heavenly perspective, and it impacts our life here on earth. And that's why he taught us to pray, "Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.